Our reading this morning is taken from Numbers chapter 6, starting at verse 22, the priestly blessing. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them."
Just take it that someone's prayed for me, all right?
I pray for you if you want.
Well, it's nice to have a bit of prayer. Sort of mean it means that, you know. Thank you, David. Isn't he sweet?
Let's all pray for John.
He needs it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all of John's preparation and all that he's laid before you for this morning and for us. We pray that we would have hearts ready to receive, and pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill him afresh, and that his words would be imbued, soaked, Lord, and poured out for us to be nourished in your love. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Go forth in blessing, my child, now and forevermore, and may the blessings cascade upon your personage, that you are unable to contain the blessings thereof. It's one of my little mantras I say to people. And it's our idea of what we mean by blessing. And it's a bit meaningless, really. Go forth in blessing, child. But what do we actually mean by it? And nothing in Scripture is without meaning and purpose. So it has a meaning, but also a purpose. It's supposed to do something in us. So if we took the passage, it's benediction and blessing. That's Numbers 6, 22 to 27. And the three points that you can hang it on is, one, God is blessed. Two, the body is blessed. And three, the individual is blessed. So we have a three triangle attitude to it. The actual word benediction is a Latin word, which I will not repeat, because, you know, I'm not somebody that can read it and get it right. But the Latin word means a declaration. So a declaration of intent, if you like. And God is very fond of giving declarations of intent. It's a declaration of what is in his heart to us, and it is really God's solemn intent to give us a hope and a peace and a future, and we know that in Jeremiah 29:11. So it's God determining, and when God's determined to do something, he does it. Now if we were to take the word bless, it means riches and prosperity. I won't give you the references. I've got them if you want them. Spiritual or temporal blessing. Or consecrate or hallow. So here we have three meanings. It's to give us riches and prosperity in the physical world, in our well-being as a person, but it's also spiritual and temporal blessing. He knows what you have need of, and he will bless you with food and clothing, etc. Or spiritual blessing, he will speak words of comfort through the body. Then it's to consecrate or hallow, and to make us holy, to set us aside. We celebrate, adore, exalt, and extol and magnify and praise God. That's what we do to God. But God, in return, beautifies, delights, and gladdens our soul. So we have, if you like, a reciprocal triangle of blessing, right? A reciprocal triangle of blessing. And you draw near to God, and guess what? He'll draw near to you. And that is James 4:8. So draw near to God, and God will come down and draw near to you. And as he blesses you, you go over the other way and bless your brethren. And they go back and bless God. And God blesses them. And they come back and bless you. And you go back up and bless God. And God in return blesses you. And you go back to the brethren. It's all about God is not blessing us that we can contain the blessing and wrap ourselves up in it. Oh, aren't I blessed? That is a wrong sort of blessing. Of course God wants us to go away skipping on our own and be blessed in our quiet time and our Bible reading. But really, he wants us to be blessed, that we bless and put into the body of Christ. Every blessing you pour out to me, I'll return it in praise to you. Get it? Every blessing that God gives you, I'll return it in praise to you. And by praising God, I've filled myself with the Spirit of God, and I can go away and bless other people. You can't give to other people what you've not received. And if you want to bless somebody and encourage somebody, you go away and get blessed and encouraged by God first. Otherwise, you may be blessing a person out of your own spirit. And I don't particularly want a person to bless me out of their own spirit. I want them to bless me in the Holy Spirit, because that is then of God. So let us just quickly go to point one, which is God is blessing. How good and pleasant it is for the saints to dwell in unity. God commands a blessing. That's Psalm 133:1-3. And God wants to command a blessing. And what he commands a blessing on is when we give our hearts to him. But very often we get the idea that he wants us to have notes. Now, I used to go into Westminster Cathedral in the afternoon to afternoon service. And I used to love sitting in the choir stalls and listening to the most sublime singing. And it was the Westminster Choir. Erica's brother nearly got into St. Paul's Choir. He had a beautiful singing voice. And it's word perfect. But you know, as lovely as it is, I can't join in with them because I can't sing like that. I can't join in them because I haven't gone through hours and hours of rehearsal to get to that standard. As beautiful as it is, that isn't what God wants. Yes, if that's one way of worshipping him, and that's the way they do it. But most people can't do that. What God wants is not notes, but your heart. He's not interested about how you sing. Are you going to sing? And it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, Psalm 95:1. And a noise is a noise. And sometimes, if you listen to me singing, it's probably a bit of a noise. If you listen to somebody, there's two people in this audience I know got the most beautiful singing voices. I won't embarrass them. They've got the most marvellous. Put me alongside and goodness me. But it doesn't matter. God wants our hearts, not our notes. And there was a composer who wrote a silent symphony. And you can go and hear it if you want. They play it sometimes. You can sit in the audience and listen to total silence. And it's a symphony. Well, are we going to sit here and give God a symphony of silence? Well, of course we're not. But you know, sometimes I do that. I give God a symphony of silence from my heart and spirit. I'm unengaged. And God doesn't hear anything. Or, when I was at art college, I went to a discordant avant-garde jazz group. And it was a cacophony of discordant notes. And it was an utter shambles, and it was a bore to listen to. And I had 2 hours of it, because I had friends who were in the band. And And that is not what God wants. He doesn't want discordant notes. Now, what does it mean by that? I just said he doesn't mind that notes its heart. We can give a discordant note because we don't really want to do it. We're begrudging. See, if I praise God out of grudging or I've got to, you know, I'm obliged to, that is a discordant note. And it jars God's heart. God wants notes from us that are coming from our heart because we want to praise him. And lastly, if you've ever heard of Vaughan Williams, who I think is a wonderful composer, Lark Ascending, it's like the Holy Spirit ascending into the heavens. And he wrote it actually for a violinist. But that's beside the point. It can be like our spirit rising up with the Holy Spirit into the presence of God. So let us be people who allow God to command a blessing upon us. Conditions for blessing. We must decrease and he must increase, John 3 and 30. And for many years, I never understood what that meant. I thought that God wanted me to die to my personality, die to my individuality, die to my intelligence, die to my critical faculties, die to my free will, and become sort of blob that is spiritual. Well, it ain't that at all. And one day I sort of had a revelation and I realised that it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is the more that I allow the flesh to bow before God, the greater my spirit will rise in praise to God. That's all it means. So if I come to God in an attitude of defiance, then I'm not going to rise in the spirit of God. I'm going to be held down by my flesh. But if I bow the knee, which is good sometimes to bow before God, and when we come in worship to God, it's good to bow the knee and praise him. And I believe before the throne of God, we'll either be standing, kneeling, or lying prostrate before him. And we'll do it willingly. We'll do it gladly because it's laying down, as it were, a gift to God of ourselves. And what does God give us in return? Every time we give to God, he gives twice fold to us. And we rise in the Spirit of God. So let go and let God. The more I'm willing to die, the more I'll live in Christ. Blessing is reciprocal. And the same measure that you give to God, it will be measured back to you. So it can seem a little unfair that God only blesses to the measure that you give him. But there is a spiritual principle involved here. And I was saying this morning that our little is nothing to his much. And what I believe it means is that it doesn't mean, I believe, that God wants you to give a fantastic measure of praise and worship to him, because you may be a little bit down in the dumps and you haven't got that degree to give. I don't believe it means the more you give, because that's unfair, because some people who have been moving with God for years and know their Bible back to front and have been in worship meetings where you go back to heaven, it's not fair to somebody who doesn't know their Bible that well, have never really been in meetings where they've known what true worship is, and what's more, they're poor in spirit. God does not differentiate between anyone. What he means is that if you give him a little flicker of praise, if you measure your little to him, he'll turn that little into greatness. If you give him a little flame of worship, he'll blow it and foster it until it becomes a fire of praise for him. And sometimes when I've been set alight in God, I ain't got nothing to boast about. It's God blowing me and fanning me into more worship than I gave him. So step out and step in, folks. Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your flesh. Step out of your fear and step in to faith. Step into the Spirit and you'll know what it is to be blessed of God. And that's point one. Point two is the body is blessed. Now we've seen how God is blessed by us. Now we see how the body is blessed in return. We bless God and now we're being blessed. Let them praise the Lord. His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. So it says, let them praise. Psalm 1, 4, 8 and 13. When we come together, I'm not really interested in watching one person praise God. I have been in meetings where you get about four people who are praising God and everyone looks on and just sits there and watches them. That is not let us praise the Lord. That is let individuals praise the Lord. What God wants is the body to praise the Lord. And worship is the engine that pulls the body into a greater worship, a greater momentum. So it's influencing each other. And if you step out in a little flame and God puts you into a fire, Wesley said, if you set me alight and let others watch me burn. Get it? So if you allow God to set you alight by your little flame, others will watch you burn and they'll want it. They get the warmth of that praise. They get the encouragement of that praise. It encourages them to step out, and before long their little flame is being ushered into, and before long you've got a corporate worship that really takes off, and it is wonderful. Nothing like it. And I love to see individuals praise, but I love to see the body praise more, because then you have a wonderful freedom. So let's lift off into worship, into God's blessing. Unconditional blessing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Psalm 149 and 1. So it's sing in the assembly of the faithful. And it's again coming to this idea that we're not there alone, we're there together. And when we come together on a Sunday morning, it is to do with one another together corporately lifting our hearts to God. We're here for no other reason. It is to praise God and let God speak to us. Praise God and let God speak to us. God will, release people as they lift their hearts to him. And God can speak through any one of us. Praise God just for who he is, in other words. No hidden agendas. No strings attached. And sometimes, you hear people who are supposedly in love. And they say, I can't do without her. I need her. That is not love. What that means is, I need what they give me. See? It's nothing to do with I. No, it's, I love her for her sake. I love her because my heart loves her. Not for any other reason. You may get things back, but that is not why you love them. And it's the same with God. We bless God, it rebounds back on us in blessing. And what happens? Luke 6 and 38, it is a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And that's what God wants for us, is that as we praise him, as we just praise him for who he is, before long we're run over with so much blessing we don't know what to do with it. And I don't know about you, but some of the most desperate times in my life have been the times when I've known God greater. So all the times in my life when I've known God greater have been the most disastrous time in my life. And I'm not saying you have to have disasters in order to get blessing, but sometimes difficulties and hardships push us into God. And when we've not got them, it's a little harder sometimes to really give God everything, without strings. Blessing is gratitude, and blessing and praise are very interlinked. What is that? Horse and carriage. Horse and carriage. They go together. No, that's right. What is it? Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. And praise and worship. Praise and blessing is like a horse and carriage. They go together. And so we see that you praise God, but you know gratitude. There's nothing worse than ingratitude. And Jesus prayed for 10 lepers, didn't he? And 9 of them went off. And only one returned. He said, didn't I pray for 10? Where are they? And to have an ingratitude of heart is, to my mind, dreadful. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing, so I sing your praises and give thanks. Psalm 30 and 12. What? You've turned my mourning into dancing? Wow. Aren't we thrilled and thankful to God? Have we not gone back into our lives and seen? We've all gone through periods in our life where things have happened and God has intervened, and we should be grateful. And gratefulness, nothing worse than an ingrate, you know. You ever met them? You help them. I mean, I suppose a silly example is that I used to be very, very naughty driving. And if people cut me up, well betide them. I'd get in front of them and I'd go at 30 miles an hour and I wouldn't let them go any faster. And if they try to overtake me, I'd stop them. And then God had a word with me one day. I was going to speak somewhere. I was on my own. And I did it to this bloke who cut me up. And I gave him a bit of JJ. And as I was walking to the meeting to speak, God had a little word with me. And it was quite serious. And he said, this won't do. You've got to change. And you know what I do now? It's bonhomie. Erica would tell you. When we're driving and people want to come out, yeah, I stop, let them out. I don't care what traffic are doing behind me. And now I get people flashing me with thanks, waving at me with thanks. It's a wonderful feeling. I don't know why I said that. Oh yeah, it's gratitude, isn't it? And they're grateful to me, and it does something to me as well. The children of Israel, when they were in the desert 40 years, they could have done it in 3 weeks apparently, or something like that. And is that right, Terry? Anyway, they could have done it in 3 weeks. It took them 40 years. But in it, their shoes never wore out. God providing them with manna and quails. Remember the quails, and they took too many and they started rotting. But anyway, God provided for them. Now, they had a lot to thank God for. And if you go into the tabernacle, you have you're going through the door, which is different colours representing Christ. You then have the altar of sacrifice, where you lay your sins, you know, on the altar, and they're burnt up. Then you wash in, I forget what it's called, a vase or something, a big golden. But then you go into what was known as the holy place and the holy of holies, and they were divided by the curtain. And as you went into the holy place, you had the Holy Spirit candlestick, you know, that Jewish candlestick. They reckon it was the symbol of the Holy Spirit, or the Word. And then you went to an altar of bread offering. And it's what is called a bread offering. It was had loaves of bread on it. It was to symbolise the manna and the quails in the 40 years. And it was called a thank offering. So you offered up thanks to God, recognising all the provision that God has given us. And doesn't God provide for us? And then you went to the curtain and they had the altar of incense, and it was called a praise offering. So you had the thank offering and the praise offering, and both are as important as the other. And I can praise God, but do I thank him for all he's done? Do I thank God but praise him anyway for who he is? And I both thank God, and I can't help but thank God. It says, to whom much has been forgiven, they love much. And I have been forgiven so, so much. I love God with all my heart, mind and soul. Why? Because I love him in thanksgiving for what he did. Because if he didn't, I wouldn't be here. But I can also go to the incense offering and offer praise to God, not because of what he did for me, because I need him. It is purely to praise him for who he is and no other reason. And if you see a sunset or a beautiful, I don't know, garden, roses, you automatically go, oh, isn't it beautiful? There's no other reason. You just, oh, it's beautiful. Oh, God, you're beautiful. Oh, you are worthy. You are, I can't help but praise you. Other times you come to God and say, oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I cannot thank you enough. You deserve my praise. And I praise God because he's deserving of it. I'll tell you somebody I don't praise, and that's man. You'll never get me to praise man or honour anyone who's famous. To me, they're just human beings like anyone else. And I've met famous people galore. I lived in central London. I went to Parliament twice, once every week for 2 hours, and I got to see them all. I have seen actors and actresses because I was always in that area. And they're no different to anyone else. But I tell you who I do praise. I praise God. He alone will get my praise and my worship. Now, Erica's telling me to hurry up, so I'll go to the next point, which is point three, and that is saints are blessed. Moses came down from the mountain, Mount Sinai, and his face shone with brightness of God, Exodus 34 and 29. And the nearer we get to God, the more he lights up his glory upon us. So the higher up the mountain you go, the greater the view. The higher up you go with God, the nearer to his glory you become. And it's all a degree of how much we're willing to come into God's presence. You see, God wants to come to us, but are we willing to come to him? And it has to be two-way, because God won't lighten our faces up if we don't want him to. And if we don't want him to, we won't go near enough for him to do it. But Moses went up to Mount Sinai. Are we coming into the presence of God personally in our quiet time, when we're alone with God? Or do we come to God when we're together? Do we just sit there hidden in the crowd, or do we participate going up to Sinai? And if we do, we'll all light up. Desire a blessing. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Proverbs 61 and 3. I've got to give in to defeat, or I give out to receive. And it's as simple as that. Moses did not give in defeat. He walked up the mountain. And if he hadn't have gone up Mount Sinai, he wouldn't have met God. I'll say that again. If he hadn't have gone up Sinai, he would not have met God. Because that is where God dwells. In the above. In the positive. In the spirit. God wants us to rise up and meet him there. And of course, he does sometimes enter into our difficulties, but that's different. So let's be people who give out to receive, not to be passive, submissive, but let's be practice to be alert to blessing. And lastly, do you know it's risky to ask God for a blessing? Sometimes I don't pray for things because I haven't the faith to believe God will do it. Well, I'll be honest with you. There are certain things that I won't ask God because I'm afraid that he might not do it. It's lack of faith on my part. But risk a blessing is, without faith it's impossible to please God. He rewards all those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Are we diligently seeking him? He's seeking us, but are we seeking diligently for him? Well, if we are, then he will give us a blessing. So it's, if I'm investing in praise to God, the dividends is I will get a blessing. But if I'm not investing in praise, I probably won't get a blessing, because it's two-way all the time. If we hold on to ourselves, guess what you get back? Yourself. You get it? I'm just going to hold on to myself today. Oh, I don't feel like doing anything today. So I leave the meeting, and all I leave with is me, which is what happens when people leave a meeting and say, I didn't think much of the talk this morning. I didn't think much of the worship this morning. They're people who are going out with themselves. Get it? They're not astute. They haven't got insight. They're not superior spiritually. All they're saying is they didn't participate, and they're going out with themselves, and you're listening to their heart, which is sad. No, I want to be somebody that goes out and to receive the blessing of God. So I will give one example and then leave you with a verse to take with you. A plane is very vulnerable when it takes off. But do you know, when it's airborne, the views are wonderful. Have we all been in a plane? I love sitting at the window. And I was saying this morning that I like when it's dangerous. When it takes off, the most dangerous time, I get a buzz. And when it's in turbulence, I get a buzz. And when it's landing, I get a buzz. I'm a bit bored when it's just stationary and nice. You know, I like a little bit of a buzz. But you know, once it takes off and gets airborne, have you ever watched cloud formations from above? They are breathtaking. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. And when I watch the sun coming on the clouds, I can't see anything else because I'm above them. I just feel with wonder and praise. The view is wonderful, but you know, I had to get airborne to see it. Otherwise, I'm only looking at it from above. I don't see it in all its glory. Are you looking at God from above, or are you looking at God from down there? Are you able? Jacob, I will refrain to give you what I think of him. I will not let you go till you bless me. And that's what God wants for us. He wants to be persistent. He wants to be full of faith. And it's not rude. It's not tempting God. It's just putting faith out in trust and saying, look, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. I won't let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go till you bless me. And that is the sort of attitude God loves. And it is, I will give you the flame of my heart, and I ask you to blow it into a fire of praise. Shall we bow our heads and I'll just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who loves to give out. But Lord, you want us to be a people who give to you as well. So we praise God, we pray God that you will allow us that freedom, that faith, that desire in our hearts to reach up to you, that we come down with our faces glowing and we bless our brethren. We release our brethren, and as they are released, they go to heaven. They come back with shining faces and they bless us. And it's just a triangle of blessing all round. Lord, we want to be people who bless you and praise you for who you are. But we also want to be a people that thank you and are grateful for all that you have done. all God's people said, Amen. Praise God.